Thank you and good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. For the past several weeks, we have been examining a popular doctrine concerning the end times called premillennialism. Premillennialism is a term which relates to the second coming of Christ. Pre means before, and millennium means 1,000 years. This doctrine teaches that the second coming of Jesus Christ will occur before He sets up a 1,000-year kingdom on the earth. Well, we have already shown that when Christ came the first time, He set up His kingdom, and it is the church that is revealed in the New Testament. We show that Jesus' kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom not of this world, a kingdom where He rules in the hearts of men. Now, the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming a second time, but what does the Bible say will take place at that time? Will He set up an earthly kingdom then? Well, this is the focus of our lesson today, and this will bring this series of lessons to a conclusion. The Bible does teach that Jesus is coming again. Now, God has not told us when He is coming, but He has told us that He is coming. Jesus said to His apostles in John 14, verses 2 and 3, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." When Jesus ascended into heaven after His resurrection, the apostles were watching, and two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." That's Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. The Hebrew writer said, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." That's Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. Now, these passages teach that Jesus is coming again. But what will take place when Jesus comes a second time? Well, we know that the resurrection of the dead will take place. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 23, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming." Now notice, the resurrection will take place at His coming. Now, the premillennialists say that there are two, three, or maybe four resurrections, depending upon whom you talk to. They claim there is a resurrection of the righteous at the rapture, when the righteous will be caught up to be with the Lord, and then there will be 7 years of tribulation here on this earth. And I think some claim that after the 7 years of tribulation, when the Lord comes to destroy the wicked forces of Satan and set up His millennial earthly kingdom, that there will also be a resurrection of the righteous at that time. And then at the end of the millennial reign, they claim that there will be a resurrection of the wicked. But the Bible teaches that there will be only one resurrection at His coming. This will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Jesus said in John 5, verses 28 and 29, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Now notice, Jesus said the hour is coming when this will be done. That denotes a single time. In that hour, all are going to be raised. There is no room here for 1,000 years between the raising of the righteous and the raising of the wicked. Paul, before Felix, affirmed that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Acts 24, verse 15. Well, this certainly means all the dead. This passage shows that the wicked will be raised at the same time that the righteous are raised from the dead. And Paul says that will take place at the Lord's coming. Also at His coming, the judgment will be instituted. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus presents to us the judgment scene. He says that when He comes, He will sit on the throne of His glory. He says all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. In verse 46, Jesus says that these, that is those on the left, will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now notice the order of the passage. He comes in glory, then He shall sit on the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all the nations, and He shall separate them and declare their judgment. Now this passage leaves no room for 1,000 years between the coming and the judgment. The final judgment will take place, you see, at His coming. And also when Jesus comes, the end will come. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, beginning with verse 23, "But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet." Now notice, at the coming of Christ comes the end when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father. You see, Christ's second coming and the end are simultaneous. You see, there is no room here for 1,000-year reign here on this earth between His coming and the end. And also notice that this is when He will deliver the kingdom to God the Father. Christ could not deliver up the kingdom to God when He comes if He did not have the kingdom now, if He was not enthroned now. And so Jesus will not set up His kingdom on earth at His coming, but He will deliver the kingdom to the Father, and according to this passage, that is the end. And also at His coming, there will be the end of the world. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Now this passage is talking about the promise of His coming. We see this back in verse 4. And so the day of the Lord here in verse 10 is the day the Lord comes. It will be a day of judgment. And according to this passage, it will be a day when all that pertains to this earth will be burned up. This is sufficient evidence to show that Jesus will not come again to reign on this earth. The reason is obvious. At His coming, the earth will be burned up. Some might be asking, well, what about verse 13 where it says, "Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Well, whatever this new heavens and new earth will be, this present earth will not be associated with it, for it will be burned up. The terms heaven and earth are used to describe the bounds of our present habitation, in other words, our dwelling place. And so the expression new heavens and a new earth is just used here to describe a new dwelling place which God is preparing for the righteous. But we do know that at the coming of the Lord, this physical heaven and earth will come to an end. And so we know that Jesus is coming again. And we know that when He comes, all the dead will be raised. The judgment of men will occur. The end will come when Christ will deliver the kingdom to God the Father. And the heavens and the earth that now exist will be burned up. Well, in all of this, there is no mention of 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth. You see, when the Lord comes, there's no reason for Him to come back to this earth. His work for redemption is finished. His authority is all-inclusive. His kingdom is a reality. It's now. People are now being delivered from the power of darkness and transferred into it, according to Colossians 1, verse 13. Jesus is enthroned in David's throne. His name is above every name. His work on this earth is finished. And so there's no reason for him to come back to this earth. But someone might be thinking, well, what about Revelation 20 and verse 4 where it says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. It is argued by premillennialists that Revelation 20 teaches their premillennial doctrine. They say that it teaches the return of Christ to this earth where he will set up his kingdom, reign in Jerusalem on David's throne for 1,000 years. And yet, the essentials of this doctrine are not found in this passage. Revelation 20 does not mention the second coming of Christ. It does not mention a bodily resurrection. It does not mention a reign on earth, nor does it mention a literal throne. It does not mention Jerusalem or Palestine, where they say the reign will be. And it does not mention Christ on earth." You see, the essentials of the premillennial doctrine are not found in the passage that the doctrine is based on. We need to understand that much of the book of Revelation was written in symbolic language. The book is highly figurative. Now, that doesn't mean we can't understand it. We can. But it seems that premillennialists pick and choose arbitrarily what they want to take literal and what they want to take figurative. Revelation chapter 20 talks about an angel having a key to a bottomless pit and also having a great chain in his hand. This angel lays hold of a dragon, which is the devil, and binds him for 1,000 years. And the angel casts the dragon into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him. Now, obviously, there is figurative language here. But why should I take the bottomless pit and the key to the bottomless pit and the chain figurative, but then take the 1,000 years literal? Another very important principle is that we must not interpret figurative, symbolic passages in a way that contradicts the plain truths taught throughout the Bible. As we have shown today, the Bible clearly teaches that when Jesus comes again, then comes the end, when Christ will deliver the kingdom to God the Father, and the heavens and the earth that now exist will be burned up. You see, there's no room for 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth. Therefore, we should not interpret Revelation 20 to teach something that contradicts these other passages. There is no doubt about it. The personal return of Christ is a fact. It will not be a premillennial coming. He will not return to this earth to establish an earthly kingdom. But he will come, and we will be judged by him. How we live here will determine what judgment we will receive. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, that Jesus will be revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, concerning those who seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, he says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Let us make preparation now to meet him in judgment. Our time is gone for today, but before we close, I want to announce a special series of meetings that will be conducted by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. The dates are October the 2nd through the 7th. Jerome Sasanecki from Danville, Indiana, will be with us and will present lessons on the theme, Encounters with Jesus. What would it be like to have a personal encounter with Jesus on this earth? Well, there are those who did. And Jerome will be talking about some of these encounters and some lessons that we can learn from them. Now, that's October the 2nd through the 7th. We will be meeting at our regular times on Sunday and then 7 o'clock each evening, Monday through Friday. Come and be with us. Our church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James. That's where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect.